Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, as you know, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. And I'm broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas, north of Houston. They've got their stuff together around here again after the hurricane, and I'm pretty impressed with how the Houston area has handled things. Of course, they didn't get hit like Galveston. Galveston got creamed by the hurricane. And my heart goes out, and my prayers and thoughts go out to all the people in the Galveston area, especially the small business owners. Really, really got tough down there. But I'm broadcasting from the Administaff Small Business Classic here in Woodlands. We're having a great time. Golf, small business, and food, all three together. That's the hat trick, and that's where I want to be and have been. This is my fifth year to do this. Let me reintroduce you to an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. You know him very well. Dr. William Dunkelberg is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, and he also is a professor of economics at Temple University, former head of the business school there, and he's our good friend. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Hey, always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back.
And may you get a hole-in-one.
I would like that. You know, I've been playing golf a long time. I've never had one. I always feel like that's one of the great inequities of humanity, is that I don't have a hole in one. But I'm working on it. I keep swinging. Hey, folks, Bill, as you know, if you've been listening to the show for any time at all, you know that once a month for decades now, Bill has been polling small business owners across the country and asking them, what do you think about, you know, different aspects of the economy, hiring, your interest in hiring people, your interest in borrowing money. What is your experience in borrowing money? How are sales? How are profits? Are you going to be making any capital improvements? Those kinds of things. And he gives answers, and he puts those answers into a report and compiles that into a report that he delivers out to the world, and we're one of the happy recipients of that. And Bill, this month, it's, you know, some good, some bad, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, I think what's amazing is that given all the turmoil we had in the month, small business owner optimism went up. I thought that was pretty good. Now, not a lot, and it's still at kind of, you know, low levels historically, which means that our owners feel like they're in a recession, whether we have an official one or not. They certainly report economic activity is slow, and they, of course, are not spending money on the things we thought they wouldn't spend money on in a bad time, like capital expansion that they don't really need, or building inventories when there aren't that many customers. And so they're, you know, they're managing their companies in recession mode. And but it's getting better. If 2 months can make a trend, why, we're on an uptrend.
Well, this is one of those cases, Bill, where we don't like the number, but we like the trend.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think another thing, Bill, small business owners are not Pollyannas. We don't play the glad game. We face reality. But at the same time, we're optimistic about ourselves. We're optimistic about our future because we believe in ourselves. We believe in our employees. We believe in our ideas. We believe in our customers. We believe in the relationship that we have with our customers. And see, that's the difference, Bill, in my opinion, between Main Street and Wall Street. Main Street, I should say, adds value at every turn, or we don't make it. If we don't add value at every turn of the screw, then we don't make it. Wall Street adds value sometimes, but a lot of things that happen on Wall Street doesn't add value at all. And consequently, whereas Main Street believes in itself, I don't think Wall Street believes in anything.
Well, they believe in making money if they can, and getting help from the government if they can't.
Yeah. How do you, what have your respondents, have you asked them, Bill, have you polled them about their attitude about the bailout?
Well, no, I don't think we have, and I don't know if we will or not.
I'd like to see that report because wasn't it interesting to hear the members of Congress report on the disparity between people who called in against that bailout. That was I thought that was one of the most interesting things I've heard from the electorate in a long time.
Yeah, well, if you view the bailout as a major intrusion of government into the private sector, you know what the small business owners are going to say. They don't like it. They may think we need it because government created a big problem, so it takes a big solution, but they don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you could view it as anything but government intrusion into the marketplace, because that's exactly what it is. Hold on to that thought, Bill. We'll take a quick break, folks. We got more to come after these messages. Here's Joe Cox. Take a break. Welcome back. It's 17-2. Small Business Advocate. Our websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check those out using to your advantage. We built them for you. And, folks, the new site, the new smallbusinessadvocate.com site, is on the way to you, a neighborhood near you, to stores and theaters near you. Actually, right there on your desktop. It'll be right on your desktop very soon. Maybe in a week or two. We're not quite sure, but it's a process, folks. It's, if you've ever built a site, and we've got a pretty big one, so it takes a while to get all the moving parts going, but we're really close to getting that thing going and getting it launched, and I'm really looking forward to that because you're going to like the new one a lot. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, and he's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust and the chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. We're talking about his report. Bill, you said optimism is improving. It's still low. Credit is an issue right now. Obviously, this is what's unique to me about this economic challenge we have right now, Bill. In all of the other downturns that I've been through, all the way back to 69, I've been through all of them all the way back to 69, Bill, and I don't remember credit being a big issue. And that's what concerns me the most about this recovery process, because even, you know, in 91, even in 01, 02, that kind of thing, small business owners had access to credit in many, many different ways. Now, even though they have some access to credit, there are some limits, aren't there?
Yeah, probably are. You know, credit is as tight as we've seen it in this expansion. You know, we ask owners if it's, you know, easier or harder to get their financing, those who borrow regularly. And, you know, back at the beginning of the expansion, only 3% said their last loan was harder to get than the one before. And now we're up to 11. Mm-hmm. But that's typical in expansion. You go back to that wonderful 83 to 90 period. In 1983, only 2% of our owners said credit was hard to get the last time they got a loan, and that went up to 12 at the end. So credit does get harder to get at the end of an expansion because if we're not growing, you don't have more customers, et cetera, you know, then your P&L doesn't look as good and your ratios aren't as good. And it's not that the banks and lenders change their standards any, but, you know, we become probably a little less creditworthy in terms of the judgment of the loan committees at the banks. So, you know, we always see it tighten, but we haven't seen it tighten unusually based on the few recessions that we've gone through, and thank goodness we only have a few to look at, so it's hard to generalize, you know, from three or four observations. Well, and I'm glad we only have three or four. But
here's my example, though, Bill. In all the others, say the last 25 or 30 years, if a small business owner wanted to start up, wanted to do a startup, you know, they never have been able to get a lot of money out of banks for a startup.
Right. Banks aren't venture capitalists.
Right, but they could use their own credit, their own credit card, for example. Millions of small business owners have been started. Some of them are still in business with credit card debt. Today, credit card debt has really gotten squeezed a lot more. Here's another example. you know, over the years, if you didn't want to go to your bank to borrow money for a piece of equipment, you could, you know, that equipment manufacturer or maybe for an automobile or whatever, you had other options, other non-bank options. A lot of those options have been diminished lately. For example, if you want to lease an automobile, as I did earlier this year, those options are very limited right now. So I think I think that's one of the reasons why credit is different this time than it has been in past recessions.
Yeah, I'm not sure that leasing was quite so big in the last recession we had. You know, leasing, of course, went by the boards because the car companies figured out that they can't forecast the value of those vehicles 3 years from now, and they especially took a hit on the big SUVs and so on because they depreciated in value tremendously. So, you know, they took a real hit on those and finally said, you know, we can't do these three-year leases because we have no idea what the value of the car is going to be in the market. And so they kind of gave those up, you know, no surprise there. And there, we also hear anecdotally, and I'm sure it's true, that, you know, the banks are pulling in lines on credit cards, especially if they haven't been used, because their accountants make them pay attention to the fact that they've promised you a $40,000 line, even though you've never used it. You know, they have to acknowledge that potential liability. So they've been trimming those back, no question about that. And, of course, a lot of complaints about, you know, higher and higher rates on credit cards. If you even miss one little payment, you know, you get punished pretty heavily. So, you know, there's no question but what it's tightened up around the edges.
You know, Bill, unemployment is a job creation is one of the important parts of your report. And what did your folks tell you about job creation? What did they tell you about their plans to hire and their current labor? Ranks.
Well, they told us that September wasn't such a good month, and we of course had that confirmed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics when they released their data. But we still have going forward, we still have a net 7% of our owners planning to expand employment. Now, more than that, try to hire. You'll have around 45 to 50% trying to hire. Every month, most of those are replacement hires rather than expanding the workforce. So, 7's an okay number. It's pretty weak. It's not as bad as past recessions, which is good news. And of course, it's been strengthening in the past couple of months. So that's also good news. So you know, it's not the best number, but you know, it's not the worst either. And again, we're moving up, so we like that.
You know, folks, unemployment is not all that bad. And I think the answer is in something Bill has taught us over the last couple of years. I'm going to ask him when we come back with these messages if it is because he said it was very smart a while back. I'm going to be right back after these messages. Tim Till, I'm Jim Blassing. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassing. Game. Small Business Advocate broadcasting live from the Administration. Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas, having a great time down here. It's golf and small business and food all wrapped into one, folks, and that's the hat trick as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to be there. Wherever those three things are all together, I'm going to be there. And we're visiting with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist for the NFIB. The index, folks, the report that's in plain English, by the way, is something you can find on my website. You can find it at NFIB.com. Bill, it's also on another website that you are in charge of. Tell us what that is.
Right, smallbiz.org. That's small B-U-S, not B-I-Z, smallbus.org.
Folks, I encourage you to look at this report. I think you'll see yourself. You'll see that your brothers and sisters out there who've responded to these questions that Bill asks, are you know, I think you'll see a lot of what you're feeling, what you're seeing out there. And I think it'll help you to see how they respond. Bill, as we went to the break, I was referring to something I say that you've taught us over the last couple of years. You continue to point out that we may have as much as 1 or maybe even 2 million jobs have had that many jobs going wanting, unfilled assignments in the country. And so my question is, with that much headroom, if you will, is it possible that that's the reason why that even though we've lost some jobs, unemployment hasn't skyrocketed?
Well, I think that's part of it. There are lots of jobs out there, and you know, about as we said, about half of our owners try to hire or hire every month, and about 80% of them say there are few or no qualified applicants for their positions. We've done a special study of that, which we'll release pretty soon, but kind of, you know, tentatively, what's interesting is that the thing that seems to disqualify lots of people, in fact, more than their educational attainment or lack thereof, is their attitude, the way they dress, their work habits, things that are under the control of the individual. You know, it's one thing to go back and get a degree, but you can dress well and take a bath, and you can have a good attitude, and you can these things disqualify these people from working. It's amazing that that's bigger than the educational deficit they have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Bill, you know, if you think about it, if you'd asked me a year ago, okay, Jim, you know, do you need to hire another employee? I probably would have said, yeah, I need another employee, and you would have put me down as a job going wanting. You'd have been correct. If you ask me today, I might say, well, no, I'm probably going to make it with the people I got. Well, I didn't lay anybody off, but I just lowered my expectations.
Sure.
And I think that's what's happening, which leads me to my next point, Bill. I believe that the next recovery, the small businesses will lead us out of whatever we're in right now and into our next recovery. Wall Street won't do it. I don't think Wall Street will be capable of it, because Wall Street, as we've known it, doesn't exist anymore. And I believe that small business owners will be the heroes of the next expansion. They always have been, but I think it'll be very
clear. Always have been, yeah.
But it'll be abundantly clear now. What do you think?
I see no reason why that wouldn't be the case. We're really the hard worker, the worker bees, worker ants, or whatever. We carry the economy on our shoulders and keep it moving forward. We're the businesses in every little town and village and rural areas, as well as the big cities. I mean, we're there, and you know, we're the ones who shoulder the real burden of moving the economy forward and creating jobs.
Well, absolutely. You know, and Bill, you're like me. You've been paying attention to political speeches and campaigns for a long time. I've never heard the candidates invoke the name small business as much as they have this year. In past campaign, I've never heard anybody. Bill, George Bush was actually the first presidential candidate to really talk about small businesses. But both of the presidential candidates today use the name small business all the time now. Whether I agree with any particular one or not, I like the fact that they're getting us up on the radar.
Yeah, they're paying attention to us. You know, they're proposing eliminating all capital gains tax on small businesses, and they're going to offer us $3,000 tax credits for hiring people, which I think is silly, because you don't make a $40,000 hire to save $3,000. You don't hire somebody you don't need. But we'll cash it in, I guess, if they offer.
Some of the things that they're recommending are pretty silly.
Yeah.
And it shows that nobody understands.
Pay attention, right?
But at least it's one of those things. I don't care what they call me, as long as they say my name. You know what I mean?
Exactly. They're paying attention to us.
Hey, Bill, are you hopeful about the next 12 months for the economy? What do you think?
Well, I think it'll start getting better. We'll see some. You know, we'll have a slow period here in the next few months because of all the turmoil. But starting next year, we'll see it continue to pick up, led by our small business owners.
Absolutely. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, the great American. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, broadcasting live from the Administrat Small Business Classic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.